What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Mongols podcast. I'm Mike. With me is Kev and Nick Thompson. Nick is the Hound's latest signing, and he's joining us to take on his brother Jack's score in our lightning round from last week. After that, we'll preview our upcoming game against Rochester. Let's go!
Can you believe that, guys?
No, I mean, that is one of the craziest sequence of events we've seen in quite a period of time.
In the top right corner, gentlemen. Out to the middle, back to Kerr.
So last week we had Jack Thompson on the show, and the very next day his brother Nick was signed to the Hounds as well. Needless to say, we knew we had to get him on here too. So Nick, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. Happy to be on the show.
So funny thing, you were warming up in the last game, and Kev mentioned that he thought you were Spanish sensation Gerard Pique. Do you take that as a compliment or is something else?
I definitely take it as a compliment. I think Pique is a fairly good looking dude, if I'm allowed to say that. And
absolutely allowed to say that. Yeah.
it's funny you mentioned that, because we actually have Jack and I have two brothers in between us, and they play soccer as well. And my one brother Danny, who's a year younger than me, they went on a trip to Colombia, and all the Colombians thought he looked like PK, literally calling him PK. So it's funny that you mentioned that I look like PK, because our family has gotten that one before.
Nice. You just got to keep that beard now. It fits.
This is the longest it gets, and it has been. I've grown it out to this length one other time before, but this is only the second time. So I don't know. Maybe it sticks around for a little while. We'll see. As long as we're winning, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Exactly. Maybe it's the good luck charm. So let's get the tough question out of the way first. So who's better, you or Jack?
It's funny. I get that question all the time, or I get the question of who's the best brother out of all of you four. I'm going to use the politically correct answer and say Jack, which is what I would say and what I did say even before today. I think Jack, just being the youngest brother, you know, was always kind of trying to keep up with his older brothers. And, you know, I think Jack's a great player and, you know, obviously has shown it, I think, so far with the team. And yeah, I'll say Jack, just so I play that one safe. We don't have an argument later about it.
That's nice. And so obviously, you know, you guys are both from Cleveland. I think Mike Green might be from there as well. You guys going to start forming a little Cleveland somewhere in Pittsburgh, maybe?
That's right. No, yeah, Greeny. I grew up playing club against Greeny. Greeny was a year younger than me. But yeah, we were never on the same team, but he went to a local high school and knew of each other. Yeah. So I've known Mike Green since we were probably 10 or 12 years old.
Jeez. All right. So that's three people. And you mentioned, you know, you have two brothers who also play soccer. Any chance they're going to come and maybe play for the Riverhounds too? We can get a powerhouse of Cleveland players here.
Hey, I think anything's possible at this point. Who knows? But yeah, so there's four Thompson brothers. And so Jack being the youngest, I'm the oldest. Then there's two in between. We actually all played at Messiah, where Coach Brandt came from. Two of us played for Coach Brandt, me and the one that's a year younger than me. And then the two youngest didn't play for him because he moved on to Navy at that point. But yeah, all four big soccer players and Messiah players as well.
Are you dropping hints here, Nick? Is that what's going on? Is there something in the works?
There is nothing in the works at this point. I would say the other two are very happy in their lives and what they're doing. There is nothing, absolutely nothing happening at this point.
So the last time you played professionally was in 2011, and since then you've been coaching. For those of us, you know, former players that have gone into coaching and always thought, I could still play, what's the process been like getting back into game shape? You know, does the fact that you've coached give you an edge on the field? Give us some insight into that.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, and sure, I've had those thoughts as well, especially being, you know, still in my 20s and feeling like I'm fit enough and could do it. So I had those thoughts for the last few years. Not that I was looking to play, and to be honest, I wasn't looking to play at this point of life at the time until Coach gave me the call. But I think for me, like, it's interesting of the timing of everything, because I've actually been, you know, I work out on my own, and I train, and I do a lot of running and, you know, hit the weight room here and there. So, like, When I you know, got the call from Coach about Pittsburgh and potentially coming out, I wasn't in terrible shape. It's not like I'd just been sitting around not doing anything for the last 4 years. You know, I play, you know, I run, I do things like that. So, you know, coming into training and trialing with the team, you know, I felt pretty good. You know, it's different. It's not like you can never simulate, you know, game fitness and game shape or training shape or anything like that. So it's taken, you know, taken some time. Honestly, though, at this point, which is only, you know, I've only been here a little over a week, I feel good. I feel more fit for sure since last week, and feeling better every day. So it takes a little bit of time, I think, but honestly, I feel really good, and I feel stronger and fitter than, you know, I have in a while.
That's great to hear. So yeah, considering you've been around the same environment as Coach Brandt a couple of times in your career, how do you guys kind of both see your role in the team? We kind of speculated a bit on the last show how, you know, you being a coach for the last 4 years, you know, maybe you can potentially act as, you know, just another leader, another mind out there on the pitch that kind of help coach the rest of especially the younger players through the game, and maybe carry out some of the instructions from Coach Brandt. So yeah, maybe just if you can talk a bit about how both you and Coach Brandt kind of see your role in the team.
Yeah, I think that's the reason that, you know, Coach wanted me to come is because we're very familiar with each other. Obviously, I played for him at Messiah. I coached with him at Navy. I've been around him, and he's been a mentor and coach of mine for years. And so, you know, even the way that I coach is a lot of him, and a lot of what his influence in me is how I would train my teams and how I train players. To be able to come into the team and just be somebody whose coach is comfortable with and knows that I know what he wants on the field and off the field, for that matter, from a team perspective, from a relationship perspective, chemistry perspective off the field. I think is what he's looking for me and Jack, for that matter. And I think that's a big reason why he wanted us here and wanted us here quickly, is because we know how he wants things done. We know how training works. We know his temperament. That's something that I'm used to, and that's something that I you know, loved and enjoyed when I played for him at Messiah. And so I think, you know, for me to be here, yeah, I can help out with guys. You know, I know a lot of the drills that we do that are new and different to a lot of the guys, and I can, you know, just be a little bit of an extension and maybe just a little bit more personally talk to someone and be like, hey, you know, maybe you need to be here or take this touch here instead, or, you know, whatever it might be, here and there. But for the most part, I mean, if you've ever seen a training session or been around Coach, you know he's very clear in what he wants, and he lets you know. And so it's not too difficult to follow. But again, yeah, I'm here to help and to be any sort of just pick me up into training I can be, since I am familiar with him for sure.
I guess continuing a little bit more with you on the field, what would you say that, you know, your ideal position is at this point? You know, to tell the listeners in Pittsburgh a little bit more about yourself, your playing style, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think my best position, or the position I've played for the majority of my career, is just a defensive center midfielder, just a holding type player. It depends how we play. If we play with one defensive center midfielder, you know, just to sit in front of the back four. But if we play with two, you know, I like to get forward from time to time and feel like I can. I feel like my work rate and my energy, my fitness, you know, hopefully getting better sooner than later, you know, is our strengths of mine. So I feel like I can bring some of that to the team from the center of midfield. But again, you know, I'll always default to Coach and the team and wherever he sees and needs me to play. I mean, even the game on Saturday, you know, I came in and played center mid, but I moved around a little bit towards the end of the half. So, you know, I'm open and willing to do whatever, you know, the team needs of me. So, I could play a center midfielder. I could play in the back. You know, who really knows at this point? I think I'm versatile enough as a player to where, you know, I can play a number of different spots, just depending on what he and the team need of me, for sure.
And so, yeah, I'm gonna geek out and praise you here for a second. I have to say, I absolutely loved your aggression when you came on at the end of the last game, just like getting into tackles, you know, leaving them in there. It was great to see.
Yeah, right.
I think we as Pittsburghers love that kind of stuff.
Yeah, for sure. And I love it too. And it's funny because, like, you know, I got the yellow card early on, and a tackle, which, you know, may or may not have been a yellow card, whatever. I got a yellow card. And then, you know, the second one was pretty bad that I didn't get the second yellow for. I mean, I've never gotten a red card in my entire life. Never.
Hey.
So the fact that, like, that almost happened, like, 10 minutes into, like, my first, like, debut, that would have been, like, you know, the most embarrassing story, I guess, for me, like, from a playing standpoint. But thankfully it didn't happen. But It was definitely good to get out there, and that is definitely how I like to play, for sure.
I'm just picturing you getting the red card and looking over, and Coach Brandt just giving you this stare, like, "What the heck?"
I know exactly what he would have said afterwards. He'd just been like, "What were you thinking? What were you doing?" In the end, we kind of had a little bit of an exchange, or afterwards, just saw him for a minute. He just kind of laughed at me for almost getting red carded, but it all worked out. It all worked out.
That's funny.
A bit of a quick, lighter-hearted question. So you were a head coach for both soccer and golf, and we're just wondering, have you ever combined the two and played foot golf?
I've never played foot golf before. I was just talking with a friend recently about it, though. I would love to play. I've just never kind of had the opportunity or been in an area where one was kind of available. But, yeah, I've never combined the two at this point, but I would love to.
So I'm not saying, but I'm just saying, the Steel Army is actually hosting a foot golf tournament on July 16th. So it could be interesting. We'll have to see. I know that's like mid-season, but but apparently there is a place up north here that you could play. So that could be fun.
I'm definitely interested. I don't know if Coach will let me mid-season. You know, just being out at the foot golf course and try to kick a ball as far and hard as I can and, like, you know, pull a muscle, he'd be pretty upset. But I'm definitely open and interested at some point, for sure.
That's awesome. As a former and, you know, potentially future coach, if you had one piece of advice to kids who want to go pro someday, you know, sort of be in your shoes, what would that be?
Yeah, I think the main thing, and what I tell kids at camps that I work at or that I coach, you know, spending time with the ball, it's a cliche, I know, and everyone says, you know, just, you know, spend time with the ball, or do things on your own here and there, whatever. But, like, that is really the thing that, and the key, I would say, to kids and anybody who wants or aspires to be, you know, a high-level college player or professional, is the more you can play, the more you can be on the ball, whether it's in your backyard. I was fortunate enough to have three brothers that, you know, we were always in the backyard kicking the ball around together, always playing. We always had friends. We're always playing in club teams and pickup games. I mean, we just always played, and that was something that we loved. And I think that's something that can be lost a little bit, especially in this generation with, you know, the technology the way it is. You know, kids just have their phones, their iPads, their computers, whatever, and they're just inside playing things instead of outside, you know, kicking the ball around or spending time with the ball. But the more you can just play, the more you can spend time with the ball, whether on your own or with a sibling or with a friend, that really does go a long way. Everything else, you know, will kind of come from an athleticism standpoint, but to be someone that just loves the game and loves to play really does go a long way, and I think is key to anybody who wants to kind of take their game to another level, is that consistent and constant effort to always be playing, always be on the ball, always working on your game. There's no substitution for that. So that would be my advice to anybody that wants to get to this level, for sure.
Great words of advice, especially, you know, as we're getting into summer here. I have three kids of my own, and we're always encouraging, turn off the TV, put down the devices, get outside, go beat up each other and play soccer in the backyard. So now
definitely,
I'll say, hey, Nick Thompson said you got to go out there and do this. So,
I'll call him and tell him too if you need me to, whatever it takes.
put you on speakerphone. That'd be great.
That's right.
So, all right. Now, the moment of truth. At the end, every time we have, you know, a player on, we like to do the lightning round, which, you know, we mentioned on Twitter when you were signed that we needed to have you on to see if you could beat Jack's score in the lightning round. And you responded, "I've been beating my brother's scores for 23 years now. Would love to come on."
So, I'm talking it up a little bit, I suppose, yeah. hopefully I can beat him again.
So here's how it works, moment of truth. We'll ask a series of A or B questions, and you just have to tell us which one you prefer, A or B. Kevin's going to set the timer for 30 seconds. Your brother, I'd tell you what everybody else has, but it really doesn't matter. Your brother got 8, so that's what you have to beat.
That's my goal.
That's your goal. So are you ready to go into the lightning round here?
I'm ready.
All right, Kevin, you ready?
I'm the clock set.
Give us a countdown, Kev.
All right, 3, 2, 1, go.
Soccer or football?
Soccer.
Cleveland or Boston?
Boston.
Car or truck?
Car.
Super salad.
Salad.
Chevy Chase or Bill Murray?
Chevy Chase.
Turf or grass?
Grass.
Pass or shoot?
Shoot.
Cleats or boots?
Boots.
Red or blue?
Blue.
Long ball or short pass?
Short pass.
free kick or penalty?
Penalty.
And that's it.
Whoa.
You're done. You killed it.
What
Knocked
was
it out
that,
of the
Kev?
Park. I was 11.
11. Holy cow. All right. So you have earned the bragging rights. I was going to say that if we would have listed the other players, the only other player to get past 8 was Corey Herzog, and he got 11. So you are now tied for the top score. You can walk into that locker room tomorrow and just start dropping the mic everywhere because
love it.
You beat a number of the guys.
The older brother wins again.
Yeah, and in all honesty, I actually reached out to Jack and said, "Hey, you know, if there were any A or B type questions that might trip him up, what would it be?" And he said Cleveland or Boston. So is there some backstory there?
That actually is one that I slightly hesitated on. I, you know, from Cleveland, I love Cleveland. You know, the Cavs winning the championship, huge for us and the city and everything. And I, you know, obviously my heart is in Cleveland, but I lived in Boston for 2.5 years, and I absolutely love Boston as a city. It's somewhere that I could see myself, you know, after playing, you know, potentially kind of living someday. It's where I've really enjoyed spending the majority of my time of any place I've lived so far. So he was right. That one did trip me up for a second, you know, and he's probably going to give me stick for saying Boston over Cleveland. I'll probably kind of hear it from him and probably Greeny a little bit too.
Well, you know, it's been great having you on, Nick. We talked about the fact that, you know, you guys are off tomorrow. I think you said you're driving back home. So we appreciate you taking time to talk to us before you hit the road. Everybody, you can go follow Nick on Twitter at nthompson14. Thanks again, man, for joining us. This has been a lot of fun. Best of luck this weekend, and, you know, hopefully we will have you on again real soon, because this was a blast. We might have to do something with you and Jack at the same time. We might have to get something in the works.
Love it.
So thanks again, man.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. It was great.
We'd love to hear from you. Find us on Twitter at Mongols, on Facebook at Mongols, and email us at howl@mongols.com. Any questions, comments, or reactions read on air could win you your own Riverhounds jersey. Thanks!
So, I wasn't kidding when I mentioned to Nick that we need to do something with both him and Jack. I think there could be, you know, the fact, Kev, that you and I are brothers, I feel like maybe challenging them to a game of, like, 2-on-2, where one of us gets Hunter and one of us gets Vargas, and just sort of see how it plays out. You never know.
I mean, yeah.
If people want to come see us get embarrassed, that could be a good time. But I mean, there's a lot of potential for different things, and they both seem like awesome dudes, and like it'd be a good time. So, you know,
yeah, I'm a little disappointed that Jack lost to Nick, because me being the younger brother, you know, younger brothers are always better than older brothers. But you know,
that's not true. Nick came out and represented for all those older brothers out there. So, well done, Nick. Sorry, Jack. Still like you, but Nick holding it down. Well done. So let's get into the Rochester preview. Last time we played Rochester, Kev, you're
actually
saying,
sorry.
Wait,
right before we get into the Rochester stuff, just maybe some small housekeeping things. I wanted to shout out the Riverhounds Academy tweeted out that the under 14 girls, the under 15 girls, and the under 16 girls just won the U.S. Club Soccer Regionals in Colorado. So yeah, I mean it's really good to see. I mean, it's great to see that, you know, the academy is doing so well, and you know, it seems like everyone's in good hands down there. And yeah, massive, massive congratulations to the U15 all the way up to U16 girls soccer team for winning that. So,
yeah, well done. Yeah. That's fantastic. And like I said, we've talked about this before about how the players are somewhat involved in the academy system, and it's great to see efforts being paid forward like that. And you know, now you could tell there were a number of tweets that came out from the players, like about how happy they were that the girls did so well. So yes, absolutely. Congrats to the girls.
Yeah. Maybe we should try to work that into our podcast here in the upcoming weeks and months, and maybe have like an academy spotlight or something like that. That'd be kind of
That would be awesome. That sounds like a really good idea, because we know there's a number of academy players that listen. You know, we have parents reaching out to us, so that would be fantastic. You know, get their thoughts on things and highlight, you know, some of the tournaments they go and play in and what it's all about, and you know, if other people want to get involved in the academy, how they can go about doing it. That sounds like a good show to me.
Anyway, so. just following up some good news on the weekend with some good news now, and then we can launch into Rochester.
So let's launch into some potentially more good news. Fingers crossed. We'll see how this weekend plays out. Rochester. So we're going up to Rochester. We're playing them on Saturday. The game is at 6:05. We've played Rochester once before already this season, and it was our home opener. It was rain-soaked. It was pretty miserable. I was there on my wedding anniversary and was, like, soaked to the bone.
What do you remember from that game?
What's that?
What do you remember from that game?
I remember being soaked to the bone.
not much of on the pitch stuff, more.
No. I remember being there, and there were still some people there. Like, there were people sitting around us, and I remember the goal. The Hounds ended up losing 1-0, and it was a 7th-minute goal by Christian Valeski, and that's why I remember it. Was it seemed to happen so quick? It was a quick breakdown on a defensive play, and Christian just sort of chipped it over Hunter. There was nothing he could do at that point. And you could tell Hunter was upset about it. And after that, the game was so wet and the field was so wet that it could have gone either way.
I mean, oddly, thinking back to this game, you know, I watched it from the comfort of my couch.
Yeah, rub it in.
But I oddly remember this being one of the better Hounds performances of the season, which it feels like ages ago because, it's, I mean, so much has happened, it felt like, since then. But I remember, yeah, we went down early. But then after that, I thought we had a pretty good control of the game. I don't know how much of that was us actually playing very well and how much of that was Rochester kind of conceding control to us. Conceding? I don't know what the right word is. I have good positive memories and feelings, even though we lost this game, about playing Rochester. So hopefully that carries into this weekend.
Well, I think some of those good feelings could stem from the fact that Rochester won it all last year, and they did it by being just a defensive juggernaut. And the fact that we came out and we played them pretty well, considering the conditions and everything else, I think it sort of set the tone for, like, we only lost 1-0 to the reigning champions, and, you know, we hung in there. So that might be where the good, the warm and fuzzies come from. Rochester now finds himself not in first place, but in 7th place in the East. You know, as a reminder, top 8 teams make the playoffs. So they're flirting with that line. They have 18 points in 12 games. And the last time they won was June 4th against FC Montreal, who we just beat.
And backing up with that, the last time they've won at home was May 6th against Charleston Battery. So they've had a little bit of a dry run at home recently. They just played Louisville at home, and they lost to them 1-0. They then played Bethlehem, and they drew with them 2-2. And then they played Charlotte and drew with them 0-0. So they haven't won in their last 3 home games. And in their last 5 games, they've only had 1 win. We've said this before, but I mean, you know, Rochester doesn't exactly find themselves in sparkling form right now. Especially at home.
They've lost their last 3. And it's to teams... 2 of the 3 teams we beat. They lost to TFC 2 and they lost to Louisville. Or I shouldn't say we beat. We have not lost to TFC 2 or Louisville, who they've lost to in the past 2 games. And then they lost midweek last week to the New York Red Bulls in the Open Cup. So you figure 3 losses, that starts to weigh on you as a team. You know, to your point, they were on a 24 home game unbeaten streak, and they lost last week as well. So that sort of resets everything for them. I feel like we've said this about a ton of teams, but it's like, this may be the right time to be playing them. We'll see what happens. Harkening back a little bit to last season, they have only conceded 12 goals this year, which is the second fewest in the Eastern Conference. But to put it in perspective, they only gave up 15 in all of last year. So they're not the defensive juggernaut they were last year. They are allowing goals in. Watching their most recent game against Louisville, you know, I watched probably the first 30 minutes of this. They, as expected, they play a flat 4-4-2. In terms of the players to watch out for, we already mentioned Christian Valevsky, who scored on us in that first game. He leads the team with 5 goals, 17 shots in 12 games. He gets at the ball. You could tell he's sort of head and shoulders above anybody else. They have a few other players. There's Samuel and there's Samuels, so don't get confused by that. And then I think most of the Steel Army's favorite defender, Apostolopoulos, was not in their last game due to a red card, but he should be back for this one. So for those of you new to the team...
You mentioned, what is it, Valesky. So, he leads the team with 5 goals. And then it drops off a bit. Their next leading goal scorer is Farrell, and he scored 3 goals. And then everyone else is either on 2 or 1. So he definitely seems to be the spearhead of their attack. So at least we have a clearly identifiable person that maybe we can try to nullify.
Do you think Farrell is happy?
I knew you were going to say something about it.
Sorry. I had to go there.
It's one of those weeks. It's one of those weeks.
It's one of those weeks, man. See, my mind starts going down like a tunnel. Like, you say Farrell, I think happy. I think minions. I think Drew Russell. I think, is Drew Russell going to be happy this game? And it's just... Yeah, I can play this game all day. But let's not do that, because I'm sure this is not riveting listening material.
It's a great podcast.
It's a great podcast. Great show, Kev. Well done. Great show. Let's talk about what do we want to see from this game. So we established, just to sort of lay the groundwork, we said in our one-third season recap that we wanted to get 10 points out of these middle 10 games. So far we have 3 points out of the last 2 games. So we lost to Richmond, we won against Montreal. So we're still sitting on par for getting at least 10 points. So in your mind, what do you want to see from a win or a draw or that sort of thing before we start talking about formation and players and all that stuff?
Yeah, I think, I mean, going back to, I said this a couple times when emotions were a little more down a couple games previously, but I just want to see the Riverhounds not lose this game, especially because we're away, I would call Rochester as a club, you know, they're a club who knows how to win. I think that's something that the Riverhounds haven't yet learned how to do this season under this manager and with these new group of players. And so in that sense, the way I kind of look at Rochester is, you know, they're a very professional team. They'll go about their business in a very, clear-cut professional manner. I want us to be solid at the back, not really concede many goals, and make sure we get out of there with a tie, which I think we can do. And like I said, I mean, remembering back to our first game, I think, you know, we've shown already this season that we can create chances against them. Corey scored 2 and 2, you know, he's catching up a bit of form right now. It's not out of the realm of, you know, possibilities to think that maybe he gets another one. Kerr had a huge game last game, so maybe he starts picking up again. I would love to see, I would be very happy to see us walk away with a 0-0 or a 1-1. And then kind of, you know, take that in a bag, and then what? That's 4 points in 3 games. I'd be happy with that.
Yeah, I think coming off the last win, it's very easy to say, "All right, we learned how to win. The floodgates open. Let's go get more. Let's win all of our games." And while that would be fantastic, I agree that I think what we don't want to do is lose. Like, don't lose here. And that's not, I don't want to say that as sort of like a pressure building thing, but we've seen Rochester. We know Rochester enough that we know what they're going to do. So let's stifle that and let's play our game and let's see what happens. But I would be very happy with a draw here as well, which sounds a bit counterintuitive. But I
think we're in a certain situation right now where we talked about it with Josh in the last podcast, where it almost seems like as fans, you know, we have 2 options of how we want to see the Riverhounds play. We either want to see A, them getting results, or B, a progression in how well we're playing. And I almost, I think even if we have a really good performance and come away with a loss, that almost causes even more frustration, because it's like, well, what do we have to do, kind of thing. You know, like we have been playing better, I think, over these past games, but you know, the biggest thing, and we've said it before, we'll say it again, I for me, the biggest thing that helps them get out of this is confidence, and you solve confidence by winning games. So right now, I would be very happy with
just a very scrappy away result, and making sure that heads don't dip back down after a big win against Montreal. Be scrappy, make sure we don't lose, and hopefully that confidence continues to build, and that eventually rubs off on performances.
You mentioned the word scrappy, which is a bit ironic because, hey, Danny Earls is back. He is in practice. He's got through his visa issues. And now all of a sudden, the Hounds seem to have a glut. I mean, we talked about how many midfielders they have, but we have a glut of sort of the defensive midfielder players where you have, you know, really, I feel like Mike Green has been the defensive midfielder for most of the season. And to his credit, I think he's played well. So you have Green, who's already in there. Now we have Earls back. Nick just said he prefers to play that position. Whether or not he actually plays there or not, I don't know. You have Branson. I think we still have Swanson floating around. We've talked about how Kerr could potentially play there. But there's a lot of players for that one position. In terms of how you want to see the team come out, in terms of a lineup, in terms of what you're expecting to see, how do you think this shakes out?
I mean, if Earls is back in practice and if he actually is ready to go for this game, I think, you know, one of the biggest things I've been kind of calling for in this side is a bit of leadership and a bit of experience. And I think both Earls and Nick brings that to this squad. I would be salivating at the thought of having a midfield pairing of Earls next to Nick, and they can kind of, you know, they'll be out there kind of marshaling the field, especially being away from home. And I think, you know, yeah, they bring that scrappiness to them, and I think we'll be a lot better defensively, especially because I think, you know, we've been saying the back four have probably been playing pretty well this season, and it's the midfield that haven't been maybe doing enough backtracking, whereas I think Earls and Nick have enough wherewithal and enough, you know, soccer intelligence to know that, you know, their defensive duties, you know, need to be there, especially in a away game. So I would love to see Earls next to Nick, you know, maybe a 4-2-3-1, and that makes a bit more sense in that way. And then everything else can kind of just fill in itself around that. What about you? Do you think maybe, you know, Willie Hunt played really well at right back last game. Do you maybe see him playing there again this week, or maybe something else?
Yeah, they the Inside the Box series that Veronica Buccelli hosts, they actually interviewed Willie Hunt this week, and he had mentioned how, you know, coaches approached him about playing right back, and he said, yeah, sure, I'll do it. In his mind, he thought that it was, you know, one of the more solid defensive performances last week that they had. So I think if we're going to play that way, it's going to take time for that to gel. And we talked about how, you know, Carson Smith and Sergio Campbell, they need that time to gel. So the only way that's going to happen is to give them games. So if this is how we're going to move forward, I would love to see that consistent from game to game. So if you're going to have Willie out wide, you're going to have Marshall Hollingsworth out wide, you're going to have those two in central pairing, great. I think you keep that. I think in the midfield, you know, the fact that Nick has only been around for a week, and I think, you know, Danny Earls coming in just this week, I don't know if you start the game with both of them in there. I think
I'm a sucker for new signings. I love to see a new signing.
Scrappy new signings. That is Kevin's MO right there. If there was a Tinder for soccer players, scrappy new signings, Kevin would be all over it.
Preferably looking like Gerard Pique.
Yes, like. So I think you keep Greeny in there, and I think you try to roll out, you know, pretty much the same lineup that we had last week, and you sort of see how that shakes out. You know, if you need more grit, then I think as the game progresses, I think you try to work, you know, maybe you try to work Nick, maybe you try to work Danny in, maybe you try to, I can't remember if Boggs started the last game or not, but I think you try to work Boggs in to give you some grit, especially if we're trying to defend a tie or defend a lead, get those guys in there, get them some minutes. Because they aren't just going to hunker down. They're just a little bit scrappier. They're a little bit more defensive minded, and they can help you move forward. So I think that's what I would like to see.
I think that's the right answer. That's the level headed, clear, logical way to think about it. I mean, yeah.
Well, right. You know, like we said, we know how you like your new signings. But one thing we didn't talk about in terms of the lineup is the goalie situation. And Coach Brandt was on, I think it was Trib Total Radio or Trib Soccer podcast, and he was talking about the situation with Vargas and Gilstrap and how they're on a rotation. Like, they've not made up their mind yet about who is the Hounds' number one keeper, and in a lot of ways, how that's a good thing, that we have two starting caliber keepers that we can plug in at any point and know that they're going to hold it down between the pipes. Do you have any thoughts on, you know, having a goalie rotation and what that could mean in terms of the team itself?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot to think about with goalie rotations. I think the first thing that comes out in my mind is a little bit of a worry with that, because I think it's actually really important to have a very kind of a solid relationship between the goalie and especially your two center backs. And I think you build that relationship by playing more and more together. So if you're constantly switching out a different voice behind you in net, then that could potentially cause some problems, you know, and it just adds that kind of second or another component for the back forward to have to think about, okay, you know, Hunter's in, so he's going to come for this ball more than Vargas would. So maybe I should back off and let him take it. Or do I hear the call? Do I not hear the call? Is one more vocal than the other? Things like that. So I think, you know, I always really like having almost a consistent back five, so the goalie and the back four know how each other play. That being said, I think if you look across the rest of the starting 11, competition in positions are always great. I mean, they'll push you to be better and all that kind of stuff. And I think in a lot of other teams, if there is one position that doesn't get enough competition, it's the goalie. Usually they're, you know, no, we have our set goalkeeper and then a clearly defined backup keeper. And I think I can cause some complacency sometimes with the starting keeper. So in that way, you know, I'm sure Vargas and Hunter aren't feeling any complacency with this. They know every time they're getting their chance, they have to prove it. And so, I don't know. I can't say it's a good or bad thing. I don't know if you have any opposing thoughts to that or not. But
no, I mean, I was basically nodding the entire time you were talking. So I don't know if it's a. I can't decide if it's a good thing or bad thing. Like I said,
do you prefer one over the other right now?
Oh man. I know Josh is like listening to this right now, screaming Vargas. At his like, Vargas. I think that if you're looking at developing talent, I think that Vargas is the way to go. But at the same time, I personally haven't seen anything that drastically separates Vargas from Gilstrap. So, yeah, it's a tough call for me.
I think they're different keepers as well. You know, I think Vargas, at least for me, is more of your classic shot-stopping goalkeeper. Whereas Hunter, if memory serves me correctly, is very eager to almost be a sweeper keeper and come out and kind of claim things early, come off his line, and kind of, you know, take care of business. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I have a clear answer either. And yeah, like you said, I don't think either one of them has put in a performance that puts them head and shoulders above the other one, at least in my mind.
Yeah. So let's do this. We talked about how we would like to see this shake out. Let's talk about how we think it's going to shake out and do our predictions.
As far as like scoring predictions or
yeah,
like lineups?
Score predictions. Let's do score predictions. Because I think the lineup predictions, we sort of alluded to what we would like to see. But again, who knows? It could be a complete hodgepodge from what we're expecting. So let's do score predictions. I typically throw it to you first, so I'll go ahead and take this one. I am going to say a 1-1 draw. Basically, you know, the Rochester has given up 12 goals so far this season, which is enough for basically one per game. And I think that we get one, and if we leak one in, I'm still going to be happy with it. So I think a 1-1 draw is what I'm going to predict.
Who do you think scores?
Who do I think scores? I mean, my gut tells me Herzog, but Herzog's not going to score all of the goals. I think that I mentioned last week on Twitter that I had a premonition that Willie Hunt scores. I think if we get a set piece, Willie could be one of those sneaky players that gets his head on a ball and puts one in. So, yeah, we'll go non-obvious. We didn't get Willie on the show, but I'm going to say Willie scores the goal for us and give him the credit there, even if it doesn't happen.
Nice.
Yeah. What are you thinking?
Thinking about predictions, I don't know. I mean, the more I think about it, this is, I think, going to turn out to be a really big game in the course of how this season shakes out, because as we already said, you know, if we get a loss here, it almost feels like the last result was for nothing. And it's like, ah, crap, we're back at square one kind of thing. Whereas if we get a draw or even better yet, a win, I mean, I think it's a massive kickstart for the rest of the season. So yeah, I mean, I think it's monumental that we make sure we don't lose. And usually I hate saying that, because I think that's a fairly pessimistic way to go about games. But, you know, this is away from home. And, you know, regardless of recent form, you know, Rochester is still one of the top clubs in the USL and that have been doing it year in, year out. So, yeah, I think a draw is going to be really important, if not a win. But, you know, now I'm not going to sit on the fence with this one. I'm going to say 2-0. 2-0 to the Hounds, and you kind of gave me a look like, no.
It's out of character for you, but
it is out of character.
Own it,
but
own it. Who gets the goal? Goals.
I'm gonna say Herzog gets another one to go 3-3, and I'm gonna say Maloto gets one, has a Maloto moment, and just kind of has a moment of brilliance and finishes the game off.
See, we haven't had any of those recently, so he is due for a Maloto moment. And for those of you who don't know what we mean by a Maloto moment, it's basically where it's a goal that happens pretty much in the run of play, but where nobody's expecting it to happen. He just sort of pops up and lets go of the ball, and all of a sudden, oh look, it's in the back of the net. So
yeah, he has Maloto.
Get out there and make it happen. So there's our predictions. Let us know what your predictions are. You can find us on Facebook, on Twitter. The game is at 6:05 on Saturday on YouTube. Word of caution, just be prepared for some crappy camera angles and for some unclear shots, because watching Rochester's home game this past weekend against Louisville was... It was difficult. We'll just put it at that. It wasn't like watching, you know, TFC2's coverage where the camera angles are bad and the announcers are just complete homers. No, the announcers were okay in this game. But yeah, get ready for it. Hounds, get out there. Take it to them. We've talked about a lot in this show. And, you know, we're anxious to sort of get back and talk about it some more come Sunday. So, Kev, anything else from you?
I think that's it.
All right, man. Well, for Kev, I am Mike. Everybody have some fun this week and this weekend, and we will talk to you very, very soon.
Cheers.